The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, EB, and JP on an open line Thursday. You can always call us at 1-800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show. Open line Thursday, presented by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. All right, let's hit the skins.
All right, so first of all, before I get into the Standick thing, I wish Cakes was here, because they have unleashed their 2025 jersey schedule. For those of you that are jersey freaks, Mar, maybe you can help with this, okay? Or maybe Drabby can help with this. So they say they've given out the weeks that they're going to have their Monument White. So does that just mean white on white? Is that what Monument White is?
No, that's their standard away uniform,
which is burgundy pants, white top.
Yep.
Okay. So that looks like largely those are, they're all away games except week one against the Giants. Okay, So week one against the Giants, they'll be in their Monument White, which I guess, you know, you guys follow this more than I do. Burgundy pants, white top. And then week four at Atlanta, week five against the Chargers, week eight against the Chiefs, week 11, week 14, 15, 18, all that's a Monument White. That looks like that's going to be their most worn jersey this season. Okay, but they have what they call Legacy Burgundy. So is that all burgundy then? Is that what that is?
No, don't you see the picture there?
No, I'm looking at a different thing. There's no pictures.
Oh, no, that's their standard home uniform right
which
now.
Which is, mine has no pictures. I'm on commanders.com.
The gold pants.
So Legacy Burgundy is gold pants, burgundy top.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be 5 weeks.
It's got a picture of Daron Payne in the home uniform, in the burgundy uniform with gold pants on.
Okay. All right, so that's going to be 5 weeks. That's going to be week two against the Packers, at the Packers. Week three against the Raiders. Week seven against the Cowboys, at Dallas. Week 10 against Detroit. Week 16 against the Eagles. So that's their second most worn. And then they have their Super Bowl era. Well, so we can obviously...
Those are the new ones.
Those are the ones that they just displayed. Yeah. Now, are those burgundy pants and white tops, but then with the special stripes and all that, like the fat stripes? Yep. Old school. That'll be in three games, the Super Bowl era jersey. How brilliant is the NFL in marketing all these various jerseys that you got to have? So not only do you have to have your Jaden Daniels jersey, you got to have all four of them.
All right,
you got to have your Monument era, your Super Bowl era. So that's going to be week 9 against Seattle, week 13 against Denver, week 17 against Dallas. I don't know how they choose the dates. Maybe they're kind of considering opponent.
The week 17 is Christmas night, or Christmas Day. I think they play at 1 that day.
That's
on Christmas.
Against Dallas.
Yeah.
And then
don't they play on Christmas this year? Pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
Are they minimizing this? Is this less than last year? The Battle Black is only one game this year against the Bears. Rematch against the Bears, the Hail Mary.
Yeah, because they added the Super Bowl one.
So they're taking away three or four potential
didn't they wear that last year?
Against them?
Against the Bears?
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't have that kind of memory.
Yes.
Right. The Hail Mary, they were
wearing all black in that game.
Yeah.
All right. So how many times did they wear all black last year? Do you guys remember?
A few times.
I feel like it was more than once.
It was.
Pretty popular. I'm disappointed.
What, in this?
I'm disappointed that we're only wearing the black one. But for one, I have the Jaden black jersey
like
that the guy gave me from the moving company.
Well, they would have worn it more because they do in the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, don't wear as many of the Monument White.
I don't think you're allowed. I think you're only allowed to wear a certain amount of dates. Your quote alternate uniforms, I think, is probably maxed at 4 times a year.
Yes, I believe it was 3 or 4.
The Super Bowl era jerseys are what's replacing the black.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was really liking the black.
They're using the Super Bowl jerseys week 9, is 13, and 17.
The black, I mean, listen, I hated it at first, but I don't know. That team last year made it cool. All right, so there you go. Those are the jersey things. Yeah, obviously, go. Maybe we'll put out a link to it. If you go to the Commanders website, you can see that. Ben Standick, who's been on the show many, many times, longtime guy covering the team. I think he recently started his own Substack. You can always check out his stuff.
We love Ben.
He's got a great podcast that I listen to. I've been a guest of Standig Room Only. So we like Ben. Maybe, you know what? Maybe we should try to, can you want to shoot him a text, Drab?
Yeah, see if he'll come on.
You want to shoot Ben?
I already did last night.
Didn't respond? Yeah.
I think it's Last Man Standing.
Last Man Standing. Okay. Standing Room Only, I said. Yeah, Last Man Standing. Anyway,
I think we have audio of this.
Yeah, he went. He obviously did his podcast, and I think he's got a fairly spicy take. Although, I if you look back, I think he's been angling towards this for a few months.
Yeah,
with the crowded room here at this position. But here's who Ben Standick thinks may not be on the opening day roster.
I had Kaz Allen on my last one as I'm like.
I saw that,
and I don't necessarily know that I said I was kind of going out on a limb, but clearly every coaching staff loves him. He just can't stay on the field. But it's the same principle. They need more of that explosive play. And the fact that he's...
Y'all love him, but they never keep him on the
end. Right. And the fact that he was a receiver, like I'm not saying they would use him at receiver, but since we're discussing that they have issues at receiver, could he possibly get some work there if they have to? That's a whole complicated. But yes, I mean, Dimitri Felton... He's if there was good. An offensive MVP of the scrimmage, I said I would give it to him.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's been good. He's had a really good camp. I just don't know if he's done enough to like bump out one of these guys.
Not to sound like anybody would care what I'm saying. It's not for aggregation. This is just a guess. I'm going to guess Brian Robinson is not on the week one roster. I have no insight into that. I'm not saying it. I just keep looking at it. If Kroski Merritt's on this team, I just don't know how you're sitting him. And again, that's where the role part comes into play. So
that's where I think he goes a bridge too far. I actually think they could maybe trade Brian if they got something in return. I don't see him cutting him, certainly. And if they have Kroski Merritt on the roster, they don't have to play him. He could be on the roster and be like a week in, week out decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Drabby said, it's not like the guy's showing these Walter Payton. You know, I like what I see too, but I think this is kind of crazy.
I think he's going out on a limb.
I think he is.
I don't agree with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hot take.
Yeah. And I don't mind hot takes. I like it.
And
but
look,
it's
every roster kind of makes surprising moves.
There will be.
In the spring.
You know what? We'll give it up to him if he hits it. Oh, you got to give it up to him.
If he hits it, I'm bowing down to him.
Yeah, and I'll apologize for doubting.
I just don't think that they're going to get rid of Brian. First of all, they didn't even play him in the first game.
I'm not sure.
Because you're not playing your starters.
I know, but they have sometimes cut guys that sit out the last game, and then they cut them.
They have. It's happened before.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it would be a big surprise if Brian Robinson was not on the team.
Well, also, in that same discussion, I don't know if he's worked it out in his brain yet, but he basically has him keeping Kaz Allen, who I understand gadget guy can do a lot of different things. They're not going to keep Kaz Allen over Brian Robinson. There's just no way. He has no resume at this level yet.
You need a bigger, stronger grinder at RB that can take the hits, unlike some of these guys, especially the Kaz Allens of the world, that always get hurt. And Eckler's not going to do it. Yeah. It's not going to be Chris Rodriguez. It's not going to be Felton.
Well, that goes back to the other guy who wrote in the Bleacher Report last week that he could see them cutting Eckler and save a couple million on the cap and the cap hit and blah blah blah. You know, all this.
I saw that too,
but I don't agree with that one either.
I find it hard to believe, though, they could be really frustrated with what they saw in the postseason. So in the postseason, he did have one good game against Detroit, where everybody had a good game offensively. He had 2 touchdowns. 15 carries, 77 yards. But against Tampa in round 1, 10 carries, 16 yards.
Yeah.
Against Philadelphia, now that became a blowout. He had 11 carries for 36 yards. They didn't get anything, even during their winning streak, from the running game. I believe in their last 5 games, Jaden and even Mariota led the team in rushing in 4 out of 5 weeks.
Right.
So maybe they're completely frustrated and just say, hey, we're going to just go in a different direction. But I would disagree with Ben, because the first half of the year, when Brian Robinson was healthy, he was impactful.
Right.
Yeah, you like talking about that.
But he just has this idea in his head, too, that if Kroski Merritt's on the roster, he has to play. I think Kroski Merritt's going to be on the roster. That doesn't mean he has to play. You know, I mean, that's just the crazy thing.
No. I mean, you can keep four running backs.
Well, they still have McNichols, who apparently, I think it's McNichols who kind of was saying they really like in teams.
Okay.
And then Chris Rodriguez, you can say what you want, they'll probably cut him. He averages 5 yards carry every time he gets an opportunity.
Yeah, he's been the most productive.
Like Chris Rodriguez always does work when he gets the ball.
But I can still see them saying, all right, we like Brian Robinson better than Chris Rodriguez, so we're going to let Chris go.
I agree, but also, I think they will let Chris go and bring him back on a practice.
You can maneuver Chris more than you can maneuver Brian.
Exactly.
Because if you cut Brian, someone's going to claim him. But if you cut Chris,
yeah,
it's going to go through waivers and you can stash 100%. Him.
Chris Rodriguez will 100% be on the practice squad.
All of the players that Ben
and Kaz
named.
Allen will 100% be on the practice squad.
That he named are so much easier to stash than Brian.
Right.
It doesn't like
there's no stashing Brian Robinson.
Yeah, you can't stash Brian. He's gonna get picked up very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a big roll of the dice.
That doesn't mean he's incredible, but he has a track record. But he's a proven NFL commodity.
But he's bigger and stronger than every other running back on the roster.
Yeah.
He's 6'2", 225. He's a big guy. Yeah, these other guys are 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". I mean, you gotta have that bigger, stronger
RB. Ben is there every day, and I've listened to his podcast for years. He's very well informed. I just think this is a hot take that's a little too far.
Now, again, if they cut him or trade him or whatever they do before week one,
then you bow.
We'll have him on the show, and I'll say, dude, you know what you're talking about.
We'll try to get
him
on today, if we can.
No one's saying Brian is a god. Yeah, is this elite, great running back in the league? But at least you have some sort of pedigree and track record.
Other than Eckler, he's the most proven guy. At this point, Eckler can't carry the load.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge game. I mean, the gamble is unbelievable if you're going to do this as Adam Peters.
Oh, you can't do that. You can't give it to a guy that played one game last year. I mean, even though he's shown strides, I mean, you know, we have no idea.
I mean, unless you're going to have Chris Rodriguez as your Brian Robinson, who's similar size, I just don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they can do that.
It's a big roll of the dice. I mean, Chris Rodriguez had 35 carries last year. And 51 the year before. He's not proven.
Yeah.
I get it that you like it in his limited work that he comes in there and gives
you
almost 5 yards of carry.
You just don't have
but he's got no resume. And then you have the issue looming of, look, with Eckler, I don't think he's going to get cut. You brought up the report. You do have to kind of factor in some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He's older. He's concussed twice last year. So I think... Even though B-Rob had injuries last year, he's the most durable of the group.
Yeah.
And proven.
Yeah. I think it's all changed. It's wild how when they do their cut down, it's 53 men for a day. And then the next day, they start moving guys again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They stash guys, move guys. I think the initial 53 will be B-Rob, Eckler, Kroski Merritt.
And probably McNichols if he's your special teams guy.
All those other guys, they'll be released and brought back. Kaz Allen will be brought back.
If no one claims it.
Rodriguez will be brought back. I don't know if anybody else. Oh, the kid Felton, who has impressed. Mm-hmm. They'll probably try to sneak him through.
Good.
He'll be brought back. Because the practice squad now could be pretty big. I don't know what the number is, but they definitely expanded it.
I don't know if that was last year or 2 years
ago. And they could, by the way, they could also put like... Longtime vets on it now, too.
They've changed those rules.
You know, it's wild. But anyway.
I think B-Rob is safe.
I like that he's going outside. I love outside the box thinking. So,
do you think Brian will be the week
one?
No, week 18 starter.
Oh, I don't know.
If he's healthy.
If he's healthy, maybe, but I don't know.
With health, will Brian be the week 18 starter?
Yes, I do believe he will be.
Probably, but I don't know. Probably.
I mean, you think he's going to have a better year? You've been battling with Cakes about Brian Robinson. He thinks he's going. You know, he's gone.
Well, I'm just trying to defend him. I'm just trying to give him an opportunity. So like Cakes, I don't like Cakes' idea that it's already a foregone conclusion. I'm open to the idea that Brian could have a big season because I've seen flashes. He's just never done it for 16
games.
Well,
and if you're right, he's definitely going to be the starter in Week 18.
If Cakes was here, he'd be applauding Ben's take.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Cakes treats running backs like kickers. Like you can just go find one off the street, plug them in,
right,
and then everything will be hunky-dory.
Because as much as we give B-Rob a hard time, if you look at his number, what's he had, like 900 yards, like kind of like every year, like in that realm? Okay, that's not an impressive number, but it's like, he carries the load for you. You know,
yeah, I think every team kind of needs that guy.
Yeah.
Can't have a bunch of scat backs.
He certainly has had moments where he looks like he could be the guy. He just doesn't do it over 16 games. Yeah.
He's actually finished under 800 every season. 797, 733, 799.
Okay, so it's 800.
Well, last year he missed, how many games he missed? Two or three last year?
Yeah.
All right, he would have been close to 1,000.
What's his yards per carry, though? Isn't it like shockingly high?
4.3 last year. I don't know what.
What is it for his career?
4.1.
Yeah.
All right. It's actually gone up since his rookie season. He was at 3.9.
Right.
And to 4.1 and 4.3. He doesn't blow you away, but he had 8 touchdowns last year.
Yeah. I never put too much stock into sometimes touchdowns because sometimes, you know, they give you the ball at the 1 yard line. Of course, you're going to score. You should score. You know what I mean? That could vary from year to year quite a bit.
If you want to chime in on an open line Thursday, you can call us at 1-800-636-1067. Our training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is an open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show at 1-800-636-1067. Can talk about Brian Robinson Jr. if you'd like. Anything else? I saw this story. It always does seem to come out of Florida, but it made me chuckle. So this guy named James Farthing and his girlfriend were arrested at the Trade Winds Resort in St. Pete. Here's the twist in a way. He won the Powerball the day before. $167.3 million.
Good Lord.
And the very next day, apparently, he gets arrested for kicking a police officer in the face during a fight.
Oh, my God.
According to the affidavit, the sheriff's deputy was trying to break up a fight when Farthing kicked him in the face, causing swelling and redness.
Hold on. Did he do this the day before or the day after he won the Powerball?
No, the day after.
So he had won the Powerball, high on life.
Was he just hammered?
I think his girlfriend was hammered, and he probably was hammered too.
Of course.
According to the affidavit, they say she appeared very intoxicated and was yelling, screaming, and making incoherent statements. Hmm. And then the boyfriend or husband, I guess his boyfriend, Farthing, was in a fight. And then the deputies tried to jump in.
All right,
I guess he just doesn't care.
Did you read his criminal record?
I did not.
He's got 9 convictions. I'm sorry. He's got convictions across 9 counties in Kentucky. So he's from Kentucky. He won the Kentucky Powerball.
All right. So he's a bad guy.
And he's got convictions in 9 counties. So he's got at least 9 different other, you know, convictions. I'm not sure if that was related to
Coke. So, I mean, there's no way this guy's going to – I mean, it's going to take a miracle literally from God – to get his life together.
He choked a girlfriend. He bribed officers while in prison. He sold cocaine to an undercover cop. Yeah. This guy is a complete loser. James Farthing is a complete loser.
He's a degen.
It's a joke that he won on 167.
Here's the thing.
Makes me angry.
Now hold on. He's going to squander it. Oh. He's going to, you know, there's no way it's going to have a happy ending.
Use it all on drugs.
There's no way that's going to have a happy ending.
It's a lot of money, though. Yeah, he might, you know, have to serve time. When you assault a police officer, you're going to serve time.
Of course.
I mean, just look at him. He just looks like a loser.
I can't even.
He does. He's got spiderweb tattoos, I believe.
He has so many tattoos.
Let me see
the guy with a billion tattoos.
You can't see the full body here. I think if you watch the video, but I mean, that's the day before the fight. Then if you watch the video, he's got no shirt on.
Yeah.
And you see.
He has like one of those Brock Lesnar tattoos, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He looks like a loser.
He is a loser.
Yeah. Well,
I was in a good mood until you told me that.
It's such a big amount of money, though. I don't know if even he can squander it.
I'm telling you, dude, guys that, you know, there's been a lot of stories written about guys that win Powerball and stuff and about how they all, not all, but a certain percentage end up like bust, like they're just, because they're still got bad habits, you know.
$167 million is a lot to squander.
I'm with you.
Well, I get it if you get like 10 million and people start buying houses left and right.
Yeah.
But 167 million, that.
Well, he won't find get 167.
Let's say, I know. Let's say he gets 80 out
It'll
of
be
it.
Probably 40% of that.
Yeah, who knows?
After taxes. He'll
probably do the lump sum. Everybody does lump sum.
I mean, if NBA players can squander it, this idiot can do it.
Yeah. All it takes is a few trips to the casino. You're in trouble.
Here's a better shot, EB.
I mean, I already can tell. I can tell.
This is the shirtless.
Right.
I don't know what pattern he has on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, he's probably on roids, too. He's got a lot going on. He's got a lot of issues. He's going to have a hard time living a quiet life and stay out. He's not going to be able to do it because he's already wild. So he's going to party like a... what's he going to order? What's the famous drinks everybody orders to celebrate? He's just going to be ordering bottles of whatever everywhere.
Yeah.
He's destined for a lot. It's going to crash and burn, even though he'll have 80 to 100 million.
I'm kind of rooting for it to crash and burn.
There's no way he's just going to be able to live a quiet life.
Can I talk about a good person? And yeah. I'm not sure. I do know the guy's name, but I was asked not to say it publicly.
All right.
Okay. But there was a story, Valdez, you might have heard this. We were talking about golf earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Last week at a local golf course in Loudoun County, one of the golf court girls crashed her golf cart and flipped it into the marsh in between a couple of holes. I believe it was between the eighth and ninth hole.
Usually I see those are dudes like just plastered.
I don't know if she was going too fast. I know the course, so I know exactly where it happened. You kind of go down a hill on number eight.
You got to be a little careful.
You kind of go up the hill to number nine, but there is marsh there on the left. She maybe it was wet, but she lost control of it.
Right.
Flips it into the marsh.
Is she okay?
Hold on, I'm getting there. The golf cart's lands on top of her.
All right.
All right.
Not good.
She couldn't. She's in the water. It's on top of her. She couldn't move. She is drowning. Okay. So somebody call. I guess the golfers that were on the course call 911.
Right. They go running in there.
She, one of the starters, is a former, not police officer, firefighter.
Yeah.
He gets there. She's not breathing. She's basically drowning. He resuscitates her. And she survives, and now she's fine.
Well, that's unbelievable.
He saved her life on the golf course because no one else could lift the golf cart. It took like nine people to lift the golf cart off of her. She's in the marsh, and she was basically drowning. He resuscitates her, and she survives.
So they actually did. So they had enough people. They could get the cart
I guess
off.
With all the golfers there, yes, they did.
Yeah.
But not all of them knew CPR. This guy did.
So she wasn't breathing.
She was not breathing.
Wow.
He got to the golf cart, to the accident. She was not breathing.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
He saved her life. I'm guessing she was a college girl or a high school girl.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I feel like that's a leak in my abilities.
I didn't hear that. Was she playing or was she a cart girl?
She was a cart girl.
Oh, cart girl.
I'm not CPR trained, are you? I mean, maybe I was at some point.
All my kids are. All my kids are, and my wife is. I just figure. If you choke,
you couldn't resuscitate somebody.
You're boned.
Right.
If you choke or something around me, you're boned.
I was a lifeguard.
I'll be good.
I was a lifeguard for multiple pools.
You still don't know how to do it.
And I was not CPR certified because the company said, "Screw it, we need somebody quickly." Yeah.
That's where my kids are all lifeguards.
We'll sign off on it. Yeah. So I was not CPR certified.
I've seen
but
Dina,
this guy was.
I've seen Dina give the Heimlich multiple times. Like, she's literally saved one of my kids' life.
I don't think you need to get Heimlich certified. Watch it on TV and figure out kind of how to do it.
When your life is on the line, I wouldn't want you doing it.
I don't know if I'd be...
You'd rather have me doing it than nobody.
That's true.
You imagine jumping in, you got brand new foot joys and Peter Millar pants.
Yeah, right? Like, oh, man. The cart is a big monstrosity. If it's one of those with the beverage cart,
heavy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, so it has all the little refrigerators in there and a big top-heavy thing.
And it actually has an engine. It's not electric.
Yeah, it's a big old thing.
Yeah, I mean... It took a bunch of guys to pull it off of her, and when she was underneath, she was probably under there for a couple minutes. I mean, and he resuscitated.
I mean, I could see it a lot of times. Don't take this wrong. It just is what it is. Sometimes the cart girls are just clueless. They don't really know where they're supposed to be. You know.
Yeah,
I saw one. I don't know what.
Well, if she's new, she's new, then she doesn't really know some of the
terrain.
Yes,
yeah, right. I saw one. Yeah, literally yesterday was going backwards up a hill. Like it was. She wasn't going forward. She was going backwards. It was almost like it was sticking. She didn't know how to do it. Like, I don't know what was going on. And then finally it started going forward.
You know, kudos to the guys, but extra kudos if they had white pants on.
Hey, there's no way she shows up to her next shift, right?
Well, she was in the hospital, but she lived.
Dude, she might be traumatized from it. I might be traumatized. Like,
yeah, she might not ever get in a golf cart again.
Drive that big ass top heavy thing. Those things probably could tip over pretty easily.
You know, think about it. But if that former firefighter was not there,
she'd have been Dunsky.
Probably, because it would take a few minutes before the ambulance gets there.
Yeah.
So. You know what? Transfer to the halfway house or the bar area.
Don't they say Don't they say that now did he resuscitate with mouth to mouth, or did he do chest compression?
It just said CPR.
I think they say now not to do the mouth-to-mouth.
I don't know exactly.
I think you're just supposed to do the chest compression, I think.
Well, I think the only reason they say that is because people won't do it.
Yeah, right.
Because they don't want to do mouth-to-mouth. And so they
it's gross. Like, honestly, Jeff, if you were stroking out.
I know you wouldn't.
I would have a hard time doing the mouth-to-mouth.
You're just a weirdo.
You would do mouth-to-mouth to me?
Yeah.
I would probably do mouth-to-mouth on any person on the planet if they were dying in front of me.
Right.
Not this guy who won the Kentucky Powerball.
Yeah, I'd even do it on him. I mean, human responsibility. If someone is there dying in front of you and
it's a character flaw, I would not.
I mean,
do
that's
it.
A massive character flaw.
I would do the chest compression. I would opt for the chest compression.
Yeah, but you're not doing the whole CPR routine.
You're going to get cooties.
I'm too phobic.
By the way, I would definitely want to do it to the guy who has $167 million.
If
I save his life.
Yeah. No, I'll be honest. That's a good point. It's a character flaw.
He may be vermin, but he might give me $1 million.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
I'm not giving mouth to mouth to probably any stranger. All right. I would almost put it at any stranger.
Where do you draw the line? How about a cousin?
Yeah, yeah.
A second cousin.
What about any of us? Any of us?
I can't put it on my lips on my cousin's lips.
Hey, what about Mar? Mar passes out from doing too many whippets or ammonia.
I'm going to be honest with you. I would struggle to give him mouth to mouth. I don't think I could do it. I don't think
anybody would like to do it.
Nobody here is being honest. I'm being honest.
No, we're all being honest.
I'm being honest.
I don't want to.
I'm not asking you to run into a burning fire. I already know you wouldn't do that. I'm saying if you and Mar were in a room together alone and he's on the ground dying, you wouldn't give him mouth to mouth?
I'd call 911 and say, get her quick.
Yeah.
Because someone might think you're lighting the loafers or something.
Would you check
checked his neck and there was no pulse,
chest compressions,
everything,
chest compressions.
All right, let's say the chest compressions don't do anything for 30 seconds.
I just keep pumping them. I pump them. I've seen it before on TV.
I don't even know what you're supposed to do. I would just kind of make up the CPR routine based on what I've seen on TV.
Right.
Like I would do three. compressions.
Staying alive. You don't know that?
No, I would just do three compressions. And then I would grab the guy's nose, and then I would just blow in there. I don't know if I'd be doing it right, but...
I probably would only do it for my son.
You need a lot more than three. You got to do like...
No, I know. I'm saying that would be my rhythm. I'd go 1, 2, 3, then do the breath, then I'd do 1, 2, 3.
Is that
three.
What you're supposed to do? I don't think you're supposed to mix those up.
You're supposed to pump like 15, 20, 30 times or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you breathe.
Yeah. You're supposed to do it to the rhythm of staying alive.
Like I said, I don't have the training.
Mm-hmm. No, I just would.
I would try.
I'm not a hero. I don't have a hero gene.
You have a human responsibility to at least try.
Listen, let me
to
tell
do
you
anything within
my
your power.
My own child was choking, and I panicked and I ran circles around our car while my wife leapt into action and she gave my kid the Heimlich and the lifesaver popped out and she saved his life.
Let me ask you,
didn't you faint too when either Stevie was being born?
We talked about that last week.
Would you have any kind of remorse or guilt if Mar died in the same room as you and you couldn't get someone there to help him.
And you didn't even, if I had given him mouth to mouth.
And you just sat there.
He just called 911.
Yeah. And they said his life could have been saved if you knew how to perform CPR properly, including mouth to mouth. Would you have any kind of guilt or remorse?
Maybe a slight, but not a ton. It's just not something I'm going to do, probably. I'm not going to give someone mouth to mouth. I will give them chest compressions. I will try my best if I like the person.
All right. Would you take a straw and put a straw in his mouth and blow through the straw?
Yes. I would do that.
Let's go to a couple of these callers who apparently have saved lives.
Yeah.
Or maybe their lives have been saved.
All right. Let's go to Brian. Brian, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. The reason we actually went to bystander CPR is twofold. One, people don't like doing mouth-to-mouth with strangers, as you mentioned.
Right.
I've been a paramedic 20 years. There is no chance I would ever do mouth-to-mouth. I've seen people vomit repeatedly when we're using a bag valve mask, and you can see what comes up.
Yeah.
So I would never do mouth-to-mouth. But as for compressions,
yeah,
the reason for it is compressions are more effective. They've realized and done a lot of studies and realized the pressure needed to cause that oxygenated blood to circulate throughout the body. You already have that oxygenated blood in you when you first go down. So when you do those compressions, you're pushing that around the body. And every time you stop to pause to give a breath, it greatly drops off, and then it takes time to build back up. So a lot of studies have shown for bystander CPR, it is far more effective. And even in some cases, they've talked about going to professionals doing that, where they give supplemental oxygen, but they're not giving breath right at first, just compression. So, yeah, for me, I wouldn't do mouth to mouth.
Do you see how they're trying to shame me, though? You see how they're trying to shame me and make me feel?
You're doing the right thing. I remember one time we had a guy went down on a track. He was running outside on a track. Somebody, the new CPR, ran over to him.
Yeah.
They did CPR on him, actually brought the guy back.
Right.
But the guy had vomited all inside of his mouth as well, and we had to give them exposure forms. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're doing the right thing, EV.
Thank you.
Right, he's doing the right thing by doing nothing.
He stumbled into something.
That's right.
Brian, he doesn't want people to think he's gay. That's why he won't do it.
Hold on. It's not that I want people to think.
You said you wouldn't do it to Mike Marr.
I wouldn't know if he was drowning. I'm not doing it. I don't think it's going to be in the newspaper. I was just telling you privately, I would not feel comfortable putting my lips on his lips. Okay? I'm not saying that it's going to be like people are going to think something.
He might have some luscious lips.
I don't care. I'm assuming no one's going to know. It's just me and Marr. Marr's passed out, stroking out. I'm going to give him chest compressions.
You think it would affect you the rest of your life?
No, you
wouldn't feel good if you saved his life.
I don't want to put my lips on his lips.
I know, but if you did and you saved his life, I think you'd forget all about that. It wouldn't affect you.
I might.
What I don't think you'd forget is if you didn't. And you just let him be.
And if he died right there because you wouldn't give him CPR.
I think that as a dark place, I think there's a dark place in my brain that I could get over it.
Oh, okay.
Well, when I inevitably die in that situation, make sure you bury me at Secrets with those smelling salts.
Okay, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go real quick. Can I go to Andy? Come on, Valdez.
Come on.
Live a little, Valdez.
Come on.
Let's go to Andy real quick. Andy, what's up?
Hey, guys, I just want to tell you, I'm a big advocate for CPR. A year and a half ago, my wife saved my life. I just a little bit older than you guys, and I'm athletic. I run, bike, swim, do triathlons, but came home from the pool and wasn't feeling right and walked in the house, went upstairs, and had a massive heart attack and cardiac arrest. And my wife came up and had called 911 because just she knew when I was coming through the door that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And, because I said I wasn't feeling right. And as she came in the room, 911 came on the phone and she said, my husband's turning blue. And they said, start CPR. And she, I think it was Lurch, said she had learned, 30 years ago, as a lifeguard.
Right.
And just did chest compressions. The operator said, just do the compression. So Brian was right. That works. And she sustained me for 6 minutes until the cavalry showed up.
Jesus.
And then they worked on me for an hour, had to shock me 5 times.
So what do you do now? It's an amazing story. What do you do now, like, to make sure that you don't have another big one?
Well, what I had was a fully blocked left descending artery. That's your widowmaker. So they were able to stent it, open it up. And that was the problem. So now
that changed your life.
Yeah. Okay, we got to go. We're up against a break. I appreciate it.
Did you have, wait, real quick, did you get post-heart attack buns? I mean, she saved your life.
No, they could die having hitting buns.
All things are good. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, all right.
You won't answer it.
I can't have buns if you just had a heart attack. I think you probably got to stay away for a while, right?
Well, he didn't mean right after. I mean, he probably meant a week later.
I think he meant right after.
I assume he went to the hospital.
Of course.
No, you can't come home from a heart attack and then hit skins. No. You'd have another heart attack.
Your wife just saved your life.
But your heart is vulnerable. You got a blocked artery. Get the Widowmaker. You got to get that thing fixed. And then you got to let it heal. Then skins. You're so horny.
Hey, bank local, cheer local, and business every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
B-Lender. Welcome back on an open line Thursday, talking about Commanders training camp earlier. Odyssey Sports training camp coverage is brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. EB, you brought up the jerseys as they released the jersey schedule. If you follow us at Junks Radio, I did retweet the Commanders. You love the black jerseys, but this is a tweet from Hollywood Hernandez. I hate the black jerseys, but love the jab of them wearing the black jerseys against the Bears again.
Mm. Yeah.
It's true.
Okay.
That's why
Dr. Riggs tweets us, I'd say we'll be wearing the Super Bowl whites a few more times. I don't know if he means in the playoffs, because I think they're maxing out, right, with the three.
Yeah, I don't know what you can do
also,
in the playoffs.
Also, I don't think you're allowed to wear any kind of alternate jerseys in the playoffs. Right? Well, no, maybe that's just the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. If you want to chime in on that.
That might be just the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's another person.
Can I ask you a question, honestly? Because I know, like, Cakes is into it. I don't know, Valdez, if you're... How do I turn this freaking thing off? My volume on this thing off. Are you into... Like, do you pay attention to what your team is wearing each week? Like, if I asked you...
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's something that's important to you.
It
registers in your brain.
I don't know if it's important, but, like, I know, Ravens are notorious for wearing their all blacks during primetime night games. And they have a lot of success during primetime night games.
So if I said to you a game, like a famous game, would you remember what color their scheme was or whatever, what their uniform scheme was?
Well, for like the 2012 playoff Ravens run, they were, you know, on the road a lot. So they wore their road black pants, white.
Yeah.
White tops.
But in the first
Super Bowl, there were all whites. With the black helmets.
Gotcha. Yeah, like I vaguely remember that they were the blacks against the Bears, but like it's not something that was important to me.
Like for when the Ravens are in the playoffs, everyone goes, oh, wait, they got to wear the 2012s because that's when they made their run. It's superstitious. Uh-huh. They say, oh, the black pants with the white top, black helmet.
Gotcha. I didn't mean to cut you off, JP. You were going through the others.
Oh, just a couple of tweets coming in. Some people hate the all whites. They said too much monument white.
I it's funny because I did a 180. I actually liked the whites that everyone hated initially, and I didn't really like the blacks because I felt like they looked like the Steelers or something. And then Jaden just made them blacks cool, as far as I'm concerned.
And they won via Hail Mary there.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that affected you.
I think also the guy just gave me the jersey when I saw it in person. Right. I really liked it. I just really liked it.
Yeah, it grew on you.
Yeah, it grew on me.
Yeah.
So now, knowing they're only going to wear them once, that's a little disappointing, I guess. I don't really care, but it's a little bit disappointing. But again, it's brilliant marketing on the NFL's behalf because, you know, if you're a real diehard, you want to have all the different jerseys, right? You got to have the black, you got to have the white, you want to have the throw.
Change it every season, it seems like.
It's unbelievable.
And what they might end up doing, look, the reception for the old school jerseys, it was so good that maybe eventually they'll transition and that'll be the main one.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It's cool. Sometimes I want to just move. Like I like, you know, throwing it back to 91 or whatever, but whatever. I don't care. Just win. I don't care what they wear that much.
But you know, a lot of people do.
I know they do. Cakes is all in on it.
No, he loves. Cakes loves the.
Yeah, he's big on it.
He loves the.
Do you
helmets,
like the way the Seahawks go back and forth? I don't even know what their color scheme is because they kind of go back from the old school to like a neon. Like you know what I mean? I don't follow it that closely, but it seems like they kind of change a lot.
It's just their like any other scheme. Team. I mean, now the Seahawks have their throwbacks that they wear. I think 3 times a year. I don't know. I wish they would just permanently wear their uniforms from the 90s. We were supposed to get the all-white ones this year. I don't know what happened. But
yeah, like I liked it. When I grew up, you know, when you're a kid, you first pick a team. I was a Seahawks fan. I liked their helmet
the Seahawks.
And everything. Yeah.
I'm over the Seahawks like the navy neon and stuff. Neon green. I'm
yeah,
over it.
Yeah.
Looks outdated to me now.
Really?
Yeah.
It just looks weird. I actually guess I do like when they go back to the old school stuff. Like what are the Bucks wearing now?
They still have their relatively. Yeah.
I think they're doing the creamsicles.
They are doing the creamsicles, but they still wear them.
Those are amazing.
They kind of go back and forth too.
Yeah, I feel like they go back and forth.
Yeah.
I think you're either a uniform guy or you're not. Like, yeah. Look, in my youth, my favorite team growing up was the Baltimore Orioles. They changed their hat. Remember, they went from the cartoon bird, and then they went to like the actual Oriole for a while. It didn't bother me that much.
Didn't bother me. But I actually grew to like the new one. And then they went back to the old now, right? You're back to the old now?
They have multiple hats. They have the cartoon bird. They have the O. They don't really have the 1997 era where like
it's the actual bird.
Yeah, it's an actual bird.
I actually got used to that one.
This is what every team does. So they'll have a uniform and then people will get tired of it and they'll change it into something modern and cool. And then when those people who are young, when they had the old uniforms, get to like age 35 to 40, they'll do the nostalgia bit, just like the Commanders are doing, and they'll want to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone says, oh, how great the old uniforms were.
Mm-hmm.
Every team does it. Commanders are doing it. Seahawks do it. Bucks do it.
No, I understand they all do it.
Yeah,
because then you got money to spend.
There's some teams that just don't have that many of them. I mean, the Browns, they don't have a lot of throwbacks, do they?
Are you sure?
Well, I'm sure they have something, but they've had pretty much.
But it's just more like with stripes.
They've had pretty much the same uniforms forever.
They like change the helmet.
They'll wear all brown sometimes.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah,
I mean, the Colts have had the same unis for the most part. I mean, every team has a little bit of a different throwback, but
I would say the ones that have changed the most, just off the top of my head, are like Seattle. Tampa,
definitely.
I don't know.
Washington now.
I guess Washington.
Yeah, I mean,
like Washington having black. Is actually crazy, and I hate
they've
it.
They've made
first,
major
like,
changes.
Like I think Eagles fans they love when their team plays in Kelly Green,
the old school.
Yeah, like they get
why you know it's so
butt sized for Kelly
because
Green.
We bring this up all the time. Everyone claims that the. This burgundy is not the same. You know, everyone's so upset about it. Meanwhile, other teams change. They do to slightly variations. They don't seem to get the same grief.
They don't have the tradition,
huh?
They don't have the burgundy and gold tradition. Well, like you always say, but they're the Panthers.
Well,
they're
Eric,
the whatever.
You also don't know that. I mean, if you were in the city, you might be hearing fans gripe
all
about
right,
it.
All right.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
I mean, Tampa Bucks fans might have said, why are we going to this? It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But. You're not in the
well,
cities.
I mean, the outrage here that we would hear, like, how dare they go maybe to a slightly different burgundy or whatever?
It's the tradition of winning Super Bowls.
Okay.
It's the whole reason they want to go back to the RFK
other teams,
site.
I mean, Seattle's won Super Bowls, right? They've changed.
They won one.
All right, but the Redskins Commanders had relatively the same uniforms for like 50 years for the most part.
It's the tradition.
All right.
Other teams don't necessarily have that tradition. That's why it was such a big change. I don't even know the official name of the Seahawks colors. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, the Kelly Green, the Eagles had they for a long, long time, right? They're basically the same, and then they put a different green, and people aren't just like pooping themselves over it.
We don't know that.
I just feel like we
weren't around the city.
I know that's a Jason argument.
Listening to Howard Eskin when they made the change.
That's a Jason argument. Maybe that's true. It just seems like the outreach here was a little, I thought, absurd.
Coming up next, we will get into training camp, talk some NFL with NFL senior writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones, here on The Fan.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.